We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
This is Thanksgiving week, and we are very thankful. For my wife and I, this is a very special week. This is the week that we arrived in Brevard County a number of years ago, and we just couldn't figure out why nobody was in the water. At the beach. It actually marks, I think, 26 years we've been in Brevard County now. At our 20-year anniversary, I went and did the Brevard County version of a polar bear plunge, and I want you to know my body thought that the water temperature was a lot colder than it was when we first got here. But we arrived in Brevard County on a Sunday night, did not know a soul. The only thing that we knew about Brevard County, Florida, was the name of the supervisor that I was going to have at the job that I showed up at. And my wife and I are so thankful to the Lord for him bringing us to Brevard County that we're just blessed to live here. Both of us come from climates. Hers from where it's extremely cold. Mine gets cold and hot. And Brevard County is just an absolutely beautiful place. I found out a few years ago that a childhood friend of mine, that this is the place that they used to come and vacation every summer. And, they were down here visiting an aunt, got to have a little bit of a reunion down here. We've also met some people who went to the same high school that I went to. We've met people down here who've had cousins that I grew up with, the cousin, or they went to school with my cousins as well. And we just love that God has brought us to such a beautiful place. So let me ask you, what do you have in your life that you are thankful for? That every time you remember it, it just brings a smile to your heart. Because if you will develop an attitude of thanksgiving, it will change your demeanor. I was preaching a week ago on being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the atmosphere that you live in, eventually, if you stay in that atmosphere long enough, it is going to become a part of you. It's going to get down into your innermost being. It is going to eventually start coming out of your mouth. It will just not envelop you on the outside, but it will fill you on the inside. And I believe what society needs in 2016 more than anything else are people who spend time in the Word of God, spend time in the presence of God, spend time with the people of God, the body of Christ, and allow that company, that good company, to affect our character in such a way that it fills us and transforms us inside and out. I know some people that at one point in time they were used to an atmosphere that was constantly filled with smoke, all the time, morning, noon, night, at work, in the car. They lived in an atmosphere of cigarette smoke, and as a result of that, they didn't notice that it affected the way that their clothes smelled, didn't notice that it affected the way their hair smelled, didn't notice that it affected the air that they breathed. They were constantly breathing in things that they had exhaled to get out of their body. And God delivered them from that nicotine habit. And now they just enjoy life so much more because God has completely revolutionized the atmosphere. Now they are able to perceive the things that they used to consider normal, and they no longer consider them normal. They consider them abnormal. I pray that the body of Christ would once again develop an attitude of thanksgiving and holiness, and that it would permeate everything about us, that once again, we would be known as a thankful people, a blessed people. And so that's what I wanted to start off telling you on this Monday's broadcast. We do want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If you have any air conditioning or heating needs here in the central Brevard County area, give Bill a call. It would be a blessing to you and a blessing to him, 759-3284. We were on Friday's broadcast, and we were talking about Balaam, the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. And I want to take you back to the book of Numbers today. Numbers 22 is where that passage, where we start learning about Balaam. He starts on his way in Numbers chapter 22. And let me begin reading. Verse number 21, so Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey and turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have also killed you by now and let her live." Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." And so Balaam went with the princes of Balak. So we were talking about that these people that God wants to bring deliverance to in 2 Peter chapter 2, that they were following the way of Balaam. The way of Balaam is one who is unaware of where God's stance is as they're journeying through life. He should be extremely thankful for this donkey. I tell you what I see in this passage of Scripture in Numbers. I see the mercy of the Lord, because I do not believe that the angel of the Lord has a reach limit the way that I do. Some people have said that they don't really have an accurate physical perception of what I look like, because they think I sound one way on the radio and then I look something different. So to give you an idea, I'm only about 5'8" and a half. That half was very important. It actually used to be a little bit more than that, but we've contracted evidently. And my reach is limited. you know, if I have a sword in my hand, I'm only going to be able to reach to a certain extent. Whenever boxers are boxing, they always want to put on their what is their span of reach? What is from fingertip to fingertip? How far can they reach? And I want you to know that in spite of what this donkey did, that if God had wanted to strike Balaam dead, he would have struck Balaam dead. What he was wanting to do was get Balaam's attention. And the way that he did that was through a donkey who could see more than the man of God could see. And so I want to challenge you today. Which would you rather be? Would you rather be someone who is oblivious to what God is really standing for in our society? Listen, Balaam was going at the behest, the repeated request of a king. And yet God was saying, that king's request is not in line with my request. And so I believe that it is very important for us to know where God stands in this process. And so the donkey had greater spiritual awareness than the man of God did. And I pray that we don't miss what God is doing. Jesus, on the day of the triumphal entry, said that when the Pharisees came and said, "Tell these people to be quiet. Do you not hear what they are saying about you?" And Jesus' response was, "I tell you that if these held their peace, that the very rocks would cry out." That the rocks, these inanimate stones, that they sometimes have greater spiritual perception than what men do. That which God created and called good sometimes has greater spiritual perception than that which God created in his own image and called very good. There's a problem there. We need greater awareness and sensitivity to the presence of God in our daily life. So there's a couple of possibilities that we could look at when we are reading scriptures like this, and we could either take the very unbiblical stance of saying, well, the people who wrote this, they were just taking literary license and God really wasn't actively involved in their daily routines. The donkey really didn't speak, but it made for a really good story. And so that's really what happened. And we need to take some of the myth away in order to find the reality. I have a term for that, and that's called baloney. No matter how thin you slice it, it's still baloney. You see, I just don't believe that God does stuff like that. He doesn't have to enhance the story in order to make it credible. He's God all by himself. Believe it or don't believe it, it doesn't change the reality. He's God. He doesn't need to enhance his resume. He doesn't need to tell you things that he did that he actually didn't do. That's what men do. That's what men with insecurity issues, that's what men do who are trying to flatter and impress. They try and enhance their resume. God says, "Here I am. I stand in my holiness. I stand in my perfection. I stand in my love. I stand in my justice and my righteousness. I stand in my truth. And you make the decision. Choose life or choose death, but you are going to choose." And so the second reality that we could realize about this is that God was actively involved in people's lives, and we read about those accounts in the Bible. Now, here's why that is important. Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." And the only truth that you can come to, the only conclusion that you could draw as you read stories like this, is that if God was actively involved in people's lives back in the book of Numbers, before they even got to the promised land, God is actively involved in people's lives right now. And with that being said, we need to evaluate Are we on the right path, the path God has chosen, or are we on the popular path? Are we on the path that may result in us having fame, may result in us having fortune, but missing God for all of eternity? For me, I want to have the sensitivity to the still small voice of God that he doesn't have to use a donkey to speak to me. I want to have a mouth that is filled with the praises of God so that the rocks don't have to cry out. That's the reality. I want to be sensitive. And so Balaam goes and he blesses the people of Israel. And this is what he said in Numbers chapter 23. Verse number 7, and he took up his oracle and said, Balak, the king of Moab, has brought me from Aram, from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me, and come, denounce Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There a people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, or number one-fourth of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. It goes on, and it says verse number 13, then Balak said to him, please come with me to another place. I tell you what, let me take you back to verse number 11. Then Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and look, you have blessed them bountifully. So he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak what the Lord has put in my mouth? And what Balaam did was he began to bless Israel. And so Balak said, well, maybe if you only see them from a different vantage point. He comes back with this message a second time. In verse number 18, then he took up his oracle and said, rise up, Balak, and hear, listen to me, the son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do, or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. And that ought to get a thankful heart going for you and for me, that what God has blessed cannot be reversed. It says, he has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. And listen to what he says here. For there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of God and of Israel, oh, what God has done. Look, a people rises like a lioness and itself lifts itself up like a lion. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. And Balak said, stop, stop. Don't curse them. Don't bless them. Don't do anything. And Balaam said, didn't I tell you that whatever God says, that's what I've got to speak? And so Balak still hasn't given up, and verse number 24, or chapter 24, verse number 1, it says, now when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he did not go as to at other times to seek to use sorcery, but he set his face toward the wilderness, and Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Then he took up his oracle and said, the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened, the utterance of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwellings, O Israel, like valleys that stretch out, like gardens by the riverside, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. He shall pour water from his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has strength like a wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall consume the nations, his enemies. He shall break their bones and pierce them with his arrows. He bows down and he lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse himself? Blessed is he who blesses you, and cursed is he who curses you. And so God turned Balaam's curse into a blessing. And I want you to know that, let me see if I can find it real quick, but it is in Proverbs. I believe it is in the 24th chapter. Let me turn over there just a second. It's a very powerful scripture, but it says, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. An undeserved curse does not come to rest. It's in Proverbs 26, verse number 2. Like a flitting sparrow, like a flying swallow, so a curse without cause shall not alight. In other words, the enemy wants to curse you, but because there is no justification for it, because you're a child of God, that curse is powerless. You don't have to live in fear of any spell or any incantation. You don't have to get up of a morning and check your horoscope whenever, and I said that the way that I meant to. I didn't mispronounce it. You don't have to check what the fortune teller says or any of that sort of stuff. You just need to know that you are a child of God, and you need to know what God has spoken for your life. And as a result of that, there is not a curse that is going to come to rest upon you that God's going to endorse. If you're a child of God, he is there fighting for you. And so I want you to know that the problem with Balaam is not this encounter, because he refuses to curse Israel. He says they're going to be blessed, that the Moabites are going to suffer as a result of that. But in chapter 25, you find that Balaam is the consultant, if you will, that leads to great wickedness breaking out in Israel. There couldn't be an external curse that came to them just because of words. But listen to what happens in chapter 25. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifice of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of the people and hang the offenders before the Lord out in the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to the judges of Israel, every one of you kill his men who were joined to Baal of Peor. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, and in the sight of who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of Midian. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel, and those who died in that plague were 24,000. And what you will find as you read over into chapter 31 is that Balaam was the one that was consulting them. He said, I can't speak a curse upon them, but I tell you what, I know God, and God requires holiness. And if you can get them to forsake the right way, remember we're in 2 Peter chapter 2, we're talking about things that we don't, if you can get them to forsake the right way, if you can get them to abandon the highway of holiness, if you can get them to compromise and become like one of the other nations that would rather indulge in sin than live in righteousness, then God will deal with his people in a different manner. Balaam, let me read to you out of Numbers chapter 31. And he said, so there were recruited from the divisions of Israel, this is verse number 5, 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Then Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 from each tribe, and he sent them to the war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest with the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. And that's the problem with Balaam's path. Even though he started with the restraint of God's word, he was looking for a loophole. He was looking for a way to get that financial blessing that Balak had promised him. He was looking for some way to bring the demise of a people that God wanted to bless. And I want to encourage you today that fame is no substitute for holiness. Popularity, position, authority, power, none of those are a substitute for holiness. All of them will lead you to a place that God doesn't want you to go. So I want to challenge you today that if you are making decisions based upon what other people think is the right thing to do, then you need to make a course correction. I remember watching the movie, I think it was Apollo 13, I'm not sure, where they had to make a course correction without computers, and they had to do it on the fly, and if they missed the course correction just by a little bit, they were going to be lost. But they did successfully complete that correction. I want you to know God is able to make course corrections. He's made course corrections for me. Aren't you thankful that you are not in as bad a place as the devil would have wanted you? That God had a better course, a better plan. So let's begin Thanksgiving a little early today. Amen. Father, thank you for the course corrections you bring into our life. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you.
It's like an ocean breeze blowing on your face, sound fun.